Behold, a podcast for the ages. Recorded live from the interdimensional terror vortex of their subterranean dwellings comes the Rough House Podcast version 3.0. Two galactic warriors put down their warhammers and battle axes to perform a more noble task. Complaining about professional wrestling on internet-purchased microphones.
Now with more Simpsons references and Kota Ibushi thirst.
This is the Rough House Podcast with Marty and Christoph.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rough House Podcast, episode number 365, recording date April 21, 2024. Hello, I am Marty.
I'm Ron Burgundy. No, sorry, I was doing my vocal warm-ups before. It's Christoph. Hey, guys, thanks for checking us out here whenever you're listening to this. Thanks to our good pal and Rough House founder, Justin Schlegel, Justin Bocephus Schlegel, for just manning the microphone for 40-some minutes on his own without us asking him to. I was like, he's like, hey, here. Take this, all of you, and listen to it. This is the body of my wrestling opinions. It will be given up for you.
I have to say, I was genuinely surprised and touched that he did that. When he sent over the file, I was like, oh, okay, maybe he did a few minutes talking about whatever.
Yeah, whole ass episode.
So massive thanks, Justin, for filling in for us this past week. It was difficult for us to record. There's a lot to cover. There's a lot to talk about. I mean, yes, Justin covered a lot of, you know, night two of WrestleMania 40, the all-in footage and the Will Ospreay promo, which followed. We're going to give you our thoughts on that. Plus, this evening is AEW Dynasty.
It is.
From St. Louis, the first ever AEW show in Missouri, apparently.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize that.
Hadn't caught that.
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and start right at the top. Let's go ahead and talk about
the World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sport.
So last we talked, WrestleMania 40 Night 1.
Yeah.
Chris and I, we dug deep into it. And minus the Gunther Sami Zayn match.
Sure.
We really weren't fans of it.
Had some strong feelings. The TLDL, I guess.
too long didn't listen.
Exactly. The TLDL is that it's just not geared towards our likings. And you know, that's not an issue with the performers, aside from Samantha Irvin, who sucks. I'm sure she's a wonderful person. I just don't enjoy her style of announcing. But aside from that, you know, night two, I don't know if on paper I was like, okay, they have a really good opportunity to right the ship. We all knew what was essentially coming with the main event, that it was going to be, you know, a bloodline rules match, a big schmoz, all kinds of different different things. And we'll get into that. But honestly, we're 2 weeks out from it, and I cannot remember anything else that happened on night two.
Yeah, that is sort of the unfortunate part, that it is a very Teflon sort of show.
Yeah,
everything just kind of slides right off. The highlight, I mean, I feel like night two was an easier watch than night one. It did not feel as lengthy. And I feel like across the board, the quality of the show was higher.
Yeah.
I mean, even the match that I think was probably the worst in ring, which was the Philadelphia street fight, which, hey, when you have fucking Bubba Ray coming out as your best referee.
Yeah. Immediately lost.
Yeah. You're basically saying to the Rough House directly, fuck you. Don't watch.
Here's this Alex Jones motherfucker, and he's just an asshole. And I get his in Philly and ECW, whatever. He got a pop at the arena. Great. But me sitting in my living room, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do some hate tweets and not pay attention to this.
But on the other side of that, and look, the in-ring was kind of a mess too. You had, you know, the least interesting people possible in you know, Paul's secret projects with the AOP and Karrion Cross. And Bobert Lasciarelli.
Yes.
Extreme Profits were on the other side. but it was lifted dramatically by the presumably very, very chemically enhanced commentary of Snoop Dogg.
Oh, man. Like, you should bring him out all the time.
Yes. Yes. It was straight up dude who has not watched wrestling in years, high on your couch, just laughing his ass off at the ridiculousness. Yeah. It was great. I really wish he was there for the rest of the show.
It would have made it a little more fun. You know, it was a loose commentary table the entire weekend.
Yeah.
We've said a lot of things about Michael Cole over the years on the show, but I really think that Pat McAfee is kind of the perfect yin to Cole's yang. He loosens him up. So, and I know Vince has gone and not yelling in his ear and the whole thing is looser as a whole, but the Pat and Michael Cole dynamic is really pretty fun.
Probably the best Michael Cole co-commentator since Taz.
Yeah.
When I think about it. And yes, we had discussed in the past, you just need to go back a few years to that, what was it, Beast from the East show, the Japan show.
Yeah.
When Michael Cole does not have Vince in his ear, he's entertaining.
Yeah.
He likes wrestling. He's knowledgeable about wrestling. And now that we're in the Paul Levesque era, as I told you many times.
Oh, are they? I didn't catch that.
Following night on Raw.
That's amazing. Good for him.
You know, Michael Cole.
I wonder if he's had a chance to read that lawsuit yet.
I know, right? Probably not. Yeah. But hey, got Steph back out on Sunday. So yeah, I guess
both of whom are implicated in said lawsuit. Yeah. But hey, you know, that's neither here nor there. They must have a lot of confidence in themselves to do all of this rebranding as the Paul Levesque Triple H era, knowing that the dude is implicated in the fucking lawsuit.
Yeah. But Michael Cole definitely all weekend long was relaxed. I think that's the way to put it. Like, yes, he had his Cole-isms. Pretty sure there wasn't, oh my, or 50, yeah. But he was in the pocket, as they like to say. In terms of other things on the show, I really liked the women's title match between Bayley and Io Sky.
It was really good.
I thought that was just excellently put together. It was as well put together as Bayley's entrance was baffling. I don't know why she had the whole Egyptian goddess theme. I think I missed something somewhere. And like we talked about for night one, again, both ladies, they understood the assignment. Had, you know, fancy gear and all that. But the primary thing to talk about, and Lord knows it took up probably an hour, including entrances, was the main event, which was Cody Rhodes going against Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Championship. The story is completed as Cody is your new champion. And this was the Paul Heyman ECW main event special. You had the ups and downs in the ring, but then you had all of the run-ins. We had Solo Sikoa run in, followed by Jey Uso, followed by Jimmy Uso, followed by John Cena, followed by the 1992 Olympic Dream Team, followed by Hologram Dusty Rhodes, followed by Shawn Michaels, followed by Triple H, followed by Mick Foley, Brock Lesnar. Then Vince McMahon came out, which was baffling. Linda McMahon after that, also weird. Shane McMahon blew a quad. Steve Austin, Michael Cole got in there for 5 minutes. Seth Rollins showed up, got hit with a chair. Then we had The Rock. Then we had The Undertaker, and that was that.
Yeah, I think you missed a couple in there, actually.
I might have. It was a lot. It was a lot. Plus, it's been 2 weeks. So
Yeah. No, that's pretty good recall off the top of your head, not reading anything at all right there.
No.
All right, so let's unpack this thing.
Yeah.
This was clearly the right choice.
100%.
To make. 100%. But, you know, as we talked going into WrestleMania, it still being WWE new era aside, there was still a feeling, at least I had a feeling, that they're like, this motherfucker could lose again.
Yeah. I mean, there was even speculation from, you know, Dave Meltzer and other writers of note that if they were able to stretch this out for a year and get the business that they did, could 2 years work?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And I'm glad they didn't do it.
Really would have gotten tired of it. But so, you know, you had your end game, and this was very end game.
Yes.
People were com- pairing yes. it to Avengers Endgame with everybody coming out, which, you know, please.
Well, I think there's an extension of that analogy. Put a pin in that. I'm going to come back to it.
Okay. So you knew where you were going to end up.
Yes.
So then you had to get yourself there. And I just, and I know the bloodline and the bloodline rules and this whole bloodline story, people have been captivated by it for years at this point.
Yeah.
I just, from my mentality of a wrestling fan, I wonder, and I pose the question to you.
Yeah.
How does the massive amount of run-ins and shenanigans that occurred and everything that has happened mostly throughout the majority of Reigns's reign as champion.
Yeah.
How does that diminish what was accomplished? Because all of the matches that Roman won and lost involved all this crap. And I feel like it did a disservice to Roman Reigns, the competitor, by not showing that he is a really good professional wrestler. And conversely, part two to that question is, does it undercut Cody to need all of this help to get the job done?
Okay. So on the Reigns point, I think there was a period of time where it was very much LOL Roman wins, very similar to the John Cena run of the late aughts, early tens. In the case of what happened here, and I think it's worth noting, for all of the run-ins they had, the lone run-in which really affected the finish was
Rollins.
Yeah. Because Roman took the point. It wasn't Rollins getting involved and, you know, beating up Roman. In fact, Rollins got chumped hard. To the point, like, they missed his entrance entirely, which that had to suck. But then he gets chumped, and they do a bit where Roman sees Seth in the tactical vest, has a chair, and it's like, oh, this is my moment for revenge for, God,
seven years ago?
Yeah.
Like that?
And I think that's a clever footnote in what is basically the end of Roman Reigns, at least for the foreseeable future. That the inciting incident that, you know, spurred him to be Roman Reigns solo superstar came back in what is going to be the end of his probably full-time run. So I thought that was clever. And kudos to whoever agented the match. I assume some combination, just because of who normally does these things, of Paul Heyman and Rough House favorite Michael Hayes and
Dick
and all of that. For all of the run-ins, for all of the shenanigans, they ultimately canceled each other out. It rarely involved someone taking advantage of a finish or really even a near fall. Yes, they ran back the Solo Sikoa bit from last year, but I think it might have been kicked out at one even.
Yeah.
But it really did not affect Cody or Roman. It was more there was this series of incidences that are happening around the match.
Right.
Up to and including The Undertaker, which, by the way, thanks for dressing up, bud. The Undertaker showing up just to do a choke slam on The Rock. Apparently, by the way, that was the Steve Austin bit, which would have, in my mind, made a lot more sense because you're just going through the generations of people at that point. Regardless.
Kudos to you, Steve, for not selling out for less than you're worth.
Well, he wanted more money and he didn't really love the idea. So
good for you, brother. Crack open a Steve Weiser on the ranch.
I don't think this hurts Reigns' reign by being this, because at the end of the day, Cody hit multiple crossroads, clean pin in the middle, 1, 2, 3. Cody's the harder part now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pull that pin out now. So we had the end game moment of, oh my God, everyone's here. It's, you know, The Rock and The Undertaker and John Cena and Usos and Seth, everyone who had been a footnote, except for Sami Zayn. But
yeah,
here nor there.
He was busy celebrating. So
it was this crescendo of 3-4 years of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
What hook is left now? Because if you look at the ratings, yes, the Monday after Mania Raw did huge numbers.
Sure.
For the first hour.
Almost an entire promo, an hour promo.
Yeah, it was like a promo from Triple H, which went straight into a promo from Cody, which went Cody and Rock. And they're basically laying down groundwork for Mania 41, which is fucking crazy. And
they do that now.
Right. Because now Cody's champion. But who gives a shit?
Right.
Cody's going to be champion until next year because he has to go against The Rock.
For the title, yeah.
You've effectively chumped every possible challenger, unless you're going to do something crazy, which is, you know, have Cody drop the belt and try to win it back in time so they can start at Rumble to him versus The Rock.
Christ, he's going to win a third Rumble in a row? Fuck out of here.
Well, I'm thinking Rock maybe wins the Rumble at that point. But nevertheless, there was this end to the story. And I know the talking point from Paul Levesque in particular was, you know, in WWE, the stories never end. You gave us an ending.
Yeah.
If I've been watching because of the Bloodline, if I've been watching because of Cody Rhodes, I got that nut. I'm good. Like, I'm set. And if you're telling me that the compelling thing after this is going to be one, a Bloodline in feud with everyone but Roman, now featuring Tama Tonga.
Yeah, pass. Hard pass.
And the dream match of, I don't know, 2017 of Cody Rhodes defending against AJ Styles.
Right.
There's not a lot of there.
No, and I'm sure Cody and AJ will put on a fine match.
I'm sure it'll be very, very good.
Two professionals, but AJ ain't winning.
Yeah, we know that. We know AJ's not winning.
AJ's got one foot in retirement as is.
Yeah, he's telling anyone who will listen, look, I can't keep doing this. My body is just telling me I'm almost ready. This is my last contract ever.
Yeah.
Which is something I wish more people in wrestling would decide. Well, Matt Hardy.
Whether or not he sticks to it or not is another thing, but that's just at least what he's saying.
Very, very true. That might also be a great way to get another zero onto that contract. But you're telling me effectively as a fan, if I'm someone who they had like the most people ever watching a WrestleMania live this year because of Peacock.
Sure.
Cool. I don't need to watch anymore. Maybe I'll be back next year.
Yeah.
You have 50 weeks of television to fill in to make me give a shit. And I don't know that I will.
And you don't have Rock and you don't have Roman, and Cody is just coasting. And, you know, they made some other title changes and, you know, that sort of stuff, you know, Priest winning the heavyweight championship after a cash in much.
Oh yes. Yeah.
You know,
which had hysterically bisexual Undertaker trending on Twitter that evening.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm sure Mark Calloway opened Twitter or X. He definitely calls it X.
Yes. he opened pays X for the check mark.
Yeah. It was like, what?
I'm not bisexual. He checks Truth Social first and then he goes over there.
Yeah. He makes a couple posts on Truth Social. Mean MC is, I think, his screen name.
And he's not a rapper, unfortunately. No.
Skyscraper MC.
But okay, like I think, like you said, Cody AJ, gonna be good. I might even take the time to check that out. Not live. After the fact, I'll give it a spin. And this past Monday, they had a really compelling angle with Chad Gable and Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
Match, by the way, really fucking good. If you have any interest in tracking that down, this is where Chris says he doesn't.
I don't.
Okay.
Take your word on it.
But, you know, very, very, very good match and a very, very good angle after the fact. But you've effectively ended things. And now you have that build to the next step. And unfortunately, the next step is kind of a step backward because we were doing the build to Cody Rock already.
Yeah.
We had Cody and Rock against each other. It was a tag.
Yeah.
We had it.
It was more of that. Like the focus for Mania and the advertising was more the tag match because Rock was involved.
Right, right.
So you're just running everything back. And it's just, I don't know. I haven't seen a second of WWE since. And I probably won't watch anything until the Rumble when I go over to Derek's house to hang and draw some letters and drink some beer. So,
yeah. Yeah. But we'll see what happens. The Rock, by the way, getting $9 million in TKO stock for his appearance at Mania.
What a fucking worker, man. What a swindler.
And speaking of worker, did you catch the CNBC article this week about what Vince McMahon is doing in exile?
Oh, boy. Which part? Because I heard two different things. I heard one thing is that he may be starting up another wrestling promotion, which get the fuck out of here.
Some believe that he may be cashing out in order to put together a new project in 1 year's time, which he will be 80, 81 at that point. Yeah.
Brother, and fucking relax.
Who will be on the market at that point?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Yeah. Unless he just buys up TNA. Oh, my God. If he buys TNA. Oh, no. I didn't even want to put that into the ether. But it just happened.
I don't think it's going to happen, by the way. I'm more talking about the extreme whitewashing of, Vince, he's just getting on his private plane. He's picking up dogs and kittens and giving them away to friends. I'm like, what the fuck? That's some Mr. Burns level shit right there.
Wait, is that? You lost me. Is that something that?
Which part?
The giving out dogs and cats.
Yeah, that was part of the CNBC article that Vince is fucking rescuing cats and dogs and giving them to friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing I heard is that he has been blowing up Trump's phone to try and angle a presidential pardon if the dickhead gets elected again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what's kind of more infuriating to me than any of the other things.
I gotta ask. I know they're pushing the new era hard, but does that mean the WWE universe is gonna stand up for Vince at the polls this year?
Oh, of course they are. They're fucking
we have the potential for the absolutely dumbest timeline.
Have we not already been in this for the past,
it turns out, Chris, there was a floor beneath the floor.
It involves
people in their Cody Rhodes t-shirts going, well, you know what? I liked it when Vince was in charge.
We're in the movie The Platform and we're at sub level 85. Okay. Yeah. So this is where we are. There's at least another 100 levels. So
yeah,
it's pretty awful and could potentially get a lot worse. So great.
Yeah,
everything's great.
It's not great. We have new tag titles, as in physical tag titles.
The
Miz brands. And R-Truth were given one uglier pair.
Mm-hmm. The ones that look like a pizza.
Yes, yes. And then Austin Theory and Grayson Waller were given the ones that kind of look like the 80s belts. Those actually look kind of nice.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, they didn't look awful. Like, Twitter fucking lost its mind. These are the most beautiful belts I've ever seen in my life, brother. Jesus Christ, touch some grass.
Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah. Not quite there. But I appreciate that it's a throwback design. I do wonder if Cody's going to end up doing the winged eagle, as they like calling it.
Why don't they pop any color on those fucking things? It's just like gold. It's very tough to discern what's happening on those belts.
It does do a discredit to the sculpting on those.
Yeah, belts. Like I would like to see, like, you know, the old world tag team titles from the
like the blue and red in the middle
and a little bit of black in there. Yeah,
it
popped. Like I think that's like the European Championship.
Yes,
which had great color design. Like, put some fucking color on those things, man.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I don't know why that's a thing. But hey, while we're talking about belts.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, that's been a while.
There's a new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. John Moxley.
Had you told me that Naito would win? He just won at Wrestle Kingdom, didn't he?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yeah. He did.
So 3 months, he beat Sonata. And then loses to John Moxley in Chicago.
Yeah, he beats Sonata. He beat Tsuji.
Yeah,
and then Mox gets the win in Chicago.
I'm happy for Mox.
Yeah, that's awesome
to scratch that off the list. It's another, it just I feel bad for Tsuji.
Yeah,
for sure. Because, you know, if you're going to take the title off Naito relatively quickly, why not be the next guy who's going to be there consistently and might maybe the next face of your pretty now fledgling company?
Right.
But that's the other thing is like you just strapped up a guy who's signed to another company.
Yeah. I mean, it does indicate that New Japan and AEW are super comfortable with each other now.
Sure. And that's great. But at the same time, if I'm New Japan, like I'm at level 100 on the platform, minus 100, you know, just getting scraps and regurgitation. It is not looking good for New Japan. And I'm not helping because I did officially cancel my New Japan World subscription. It's kind of fucking crazy that happened.
Yeah. I don't disagree. And they are having him defend the belt. It got officially made as a title match last night. It was announced as non-title originally, but they're having him defend the belt against Powerhouse Hobbs this week on Dynamite. Weirdly, not at the pay-per-view, but you know they're doing that. And then on May 4th at Wrestling Dontaku, Moxley or Powerhouse Hobbs, I suppose, Moxley,
sure,
defending against Ren Narita.
Okay,
and then the May 11th show in California, Resurgence, Moxley is defending against Shooter. Or sorry, Moxley or Ren Narita.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, or defending Hobbs against Shooter. So, like, he's going against two-thirds of, like, the young crop. So you can't say they aren't giving guys opportunities, but unless they're going to shock the world and have Moxley put over Shooter, which might be the right call.
Yeah.
It's definitely a surreal pick.
Yeah. I wonder how Naito internally is feeling about all of this.
I'm sure he doesn't care. He genuinely does not tranquilo. Seem to give a shit.
He's tranquilo, baby. You know?
Yeah. And meanwhile, John Moxley got announced. He's going to be headlining in June, the Josh Barnett Bloodsport show in Japan.
Sounds about right.
So he's even working like random indies in Japan. So, okay, good luck with that, guys. It's not a bad pick overall. He's a worldwide star. He can get it done in ring. Really, what is there for him to do in AEW right now?
It's true. You
know, like, he's done pretty much everything. So I could see the point and purpose in going, you know what, if we're going to put our belt on a big AEW star, should be him. But at the same time, it is odd.
It is. Not to say that there haven't been Gaijin champions before, but they've been like under contract to New Japan at the time.
right. And it is kind of a damning scenario that you needed to take your belt from one of the waning stars in New Japan and Naito, because let's be honest, he's on the downside of his career. Love the guy, but he's not who he was.
His knees were tired 5 years ago.
Exactly. And they're in the house right next to Hiroshi Tanahashi's in the retirement community.
Yeah. They're the president of the activities committee at the retirement home.
But you have to put your belt on a guy who isn't under contract, who works for another company, and not one of your young stars who you're trying to make.
I'm wondering if John Moxley slipped Rocky Romero, you know, a couple bucks under the table.
Rocky Romero, who is now a VP in New Japan also.
Yeah, he's dual VPs.
Smartest man in professional wrestling.
That's a fucking worker, my guy.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Rocky.
Get some, bud. Nice work.
Go spend that coin in Roppongi. Drop some yen.
I was gonna say, although maybe that New Japan vice president contract is not as strong as it once was.
I'm sure it's not.
In terms of the cash. But yeah, just crazy.
Weird things happening in New Japan right now.
Weird things happening in New Japan, but weird things also happening.
And now it's time for the Rough House Podcast TNA Impact Update.
It's not often we talk about TNA.
By design.
True. Last night was their big Rebellion pay-per-view that had three debuts.
Or returns?
Return views.
Yeah.
Requels.
Yes.
I don't know.
Reboots?
Yes. Legacy sequels.
Yeah, there we go.
So they've been on this kick of, okay, Nick Nemeth signed over there. That's apparently how it's been pronounced, by the way. I didn't realize. Nemeth.
Really?
Yeah. So Nemeth.
But in AEW, his brother was whatever, Nemeth.
I don't know, dude. I'm just telling you how I've heard it said on commentary lately.
Nemeth, Nemeth, ketchup.
Yeah. they've got him over there. They've got Dana Brooke, who they signed recently, and they're giving a push.
Version 3.0.
They extended the contract of Josh Alexander. They're losing the Motor City machine guns.
Knocked down my Motor City machine gun wall.
But Anthem decided, you know what? Here's what we're going to do with that money we got from shit-canning the Canadian guy. We're going to go ahead and bring in Mike Santana.
Yeah.
Formerly of Proud and Powerful in AEW as a solo guy, which cool. Fine. Yeah. Like, I don't know where else he could ply his trade right now. Cause it's clear the writing was on the wall for him in AEW that he wasn't going to be who he thinks he is.
Right. And he's not a fit in WWE.
No. So I think that actually makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
You had the return of Sammy Callahan, who appears to now be two Sammy Callahans.
I'm seeing double. Yeah. Four Sammy Callahans.
Yeah. I think somebody fucked up on the monitor. You gotta fix the aspect ratio because that dude got wide.
Oh, brother.
I don't mean to fat shame, but like his gig is to look like a professional, right?
I mean, you know, I might have tried to get a little thinned out if I was going to read a BU on TV, but hey, you know.
And he's been on TV. I mean, TV, it's MLW, but
Is that where he's been?
Yeah.
I forget MLW is even a thing.
When you show up looking like a professional bowler, that's an issue in pro wrestling, I think. But hey, you know, good for him. He popped up there and he's not in AEW, so thank Christ for that.
Yeah.
And crucially, I just want to take a moment and say, thank you, Anthem. I don't often say this. Really, the most probably appreciated thing you do, at least in terms of my family lineage, is my mother watches a lot of Access, loves the classic rock documentaries. But you brought back Broken Matt Hardy, which means Matt Hardy will not be on my television.
I hate to be the guy to shit in your Cheerios.
No. I think we both know what we're about to say here.
Hardy tweeted that he is still a free agent, is not under contract at Impact, and he can go – or at TNA. No, at Impact. And can TNA, go – Impact. No, TNA. It is TNA. Yeah. See, I'm fucking confused as to which one it is. Not under contract. He can appear where he wants to appear. So we're not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, but when you show up and have him build an angle with the world champion.
Sure. At least a couple months off.
Yeah, it says what's going on. Also, you can say, oh, I'm a free agent. I'm still talking with people. It says a lot when you have a deal from AEW that you decide you don't want to take. You're saying you're talking to everybody and you show up freelance in TNA.
Yeah.
If you're going to WWE, that's not something you're going to do.
Probably not, no.
So... anyway, good luck, Godspeed, and TNA, bud. Now, just
bring your brother over there.
Yeah. Get him out. Get him gone. Direct
flight for Brother Nero, please.
Yeah, and have someone pick him up at the airport, please. Anyway, let's talk about this company.
Terrible.
AEW. Let's get into it. So last week, Justin, wonderfully so, covered the amount of responses that AEW did to all of the press that was done about them during WrestleMania week.
Yeah, which in itself was all a bad idea.
Yes.
Just to recap everything. Jump,
there is no one who looks good here.
No.
And we talked about the possibilities of them, you know, in the last episode we did, the possibilities of them showing the all-in footage and how kind of stupid it was. Yeah. And I can't recall if it was you and I talking privately or if it was said on the pod, but the thought process I had was, if you go into this thinking Punk is a piece of shit and should have been fired, you're going to watch the footage. And sure enough, your point can be made.
You'll be justified. Yeah.
And if you are saying CM Punk did nothing wrong and, you know, he got into a scrap with a guy who talked shit to him and all of that, you know, the pro WWE side, if you will, you're going to watch that footage and you're going to have your opinion justified.
Sure.
And that's what happened.
Pretty much.
Really, the only thing that I gained from all of this was a level of sympathy for Chris Hero, because that dude on footage is just like, ah, fuck. Like
this fucking guy. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know that feeling.
This dude for 20 years and he's pulling the same shit.
Yeah. Although bonus points for Joe for just like scooping up Jack Perry. And he's like, okay, get the fuck. Let's just, we got a match.
we got our thing to do.
Yeah. Joe, the consummate professional.
Always and forever. And Jack Perry probably gained the most out of this because he got a fucking superstar of response in Chicago during the New Japan show, which apparently
in Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. In Chicago. Like, apparently that's his last match for New Japan.
Right. So he won't see it tonight.
Yeah. Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. But it was footage. Like, there was nothing juicy or new or different. Yes, Tony Khan saying I felt like I was in fear of my life seems ridiculous in retrospect. It seemed ridiculous at the time.
Yeah, well, there might have been, you know, further video that they did not show of Punk in getting in Tony's face a little more.
No doubt.
But still, I still think it was a terrible idea to show it.
Yeah, because even for the best thing I can say about it, which is it added a unique weight to the fourth Young Bucks FTR match.
Right.
You didn't need to show it for the same thing to be done. You could literally have the Bucks say, your friend ruined the biggest show of our lives. We had too much on our plate and we lost focus.
Right.
Don't need to say the friend. Don't need to show the friend. Don't need to show the footage. Same exact response. In fact, the only thing you ended up having was during the angle afterwards, a live crowd chanting for CM Punk.
Yeah. A guy who was just on WrestleMania a couple days prior. So
bravo.
Not the, and apparently it happened either last night or Wednesday. It was shut down by some other people in the crowd, but still, you know, that's not just, there's no reason to fucking bring this guy up. Like, it's done. It's over. You got rid of the cancer. Let him go be a poison to the other locker room. Yeah. Do your fucking thing. It's so fucking frustrating to sit here and root for this company when they can't get out of their own way sometimes.
So you had that. And then the segment right after, Will Ospreay, who, dark horse for promo of the year, and not in terms of this singular promo, but across the board. Keep his skills. He gets a little shooty, a little bang bang in the direction of Triple H, which on its own, whatever, combined with the segment before being the all in footage, felt a little gotten to.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely.
However, no different than WrestleMania 40 night two weeks on. Here we are a week on. I don't know about you, but it feels to me like none of it mattered.
No.
Like,
of course none of it mattered.
It wouldn't happened. I was kind of doomsdaying it, the showing of the footage, that it was just, you know, a classless, unnecessary thing that made him look like late era WCW, that.
It was. You were correct with that.
Yeah, but
but it didn't. It doesn't have lasting implications.
Exactly. So it came, it went, it was.
I mean, but we're only a week and a half out. You know, if there continues to be a dramatic downturn in attendance post this, then, you know, then maybe an argument can be brought up. But, you know, tennis has been on a downswing for some time now.
Right. And they actually have some, like, bigger shows coming up. Like, there's a Vancouver Dynamite coming up, which has, like, 6 or 7,000 already sold.
Okay.
And there's nothing announced for that. This isn't a Mercedes Moné thing, which we'll talk about. But, yeah, it ultimately meant nothing, which just made the whole to-do even more ridiculous. Also ridiculous was Tony Khan doing press over the past week plus, because, of course, they had a pay-per-view to put over. In two different interviews, Tony Khan said, one, that collaborating with WWE would, quote, depend on the circumstance, because it has come out that Nick Khan wants to do more working with different companies, which I think is actually more just, we're going to work with Marigold, the Stardom spinoff.
Right.
Well, not spinoff, I guess, exiled group. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, hey, that's something we consider depending on the circumstance, but then also said AEW and WWE's mutual hate is a natural resource that powers the industry.
Okay.
I mean, you can't be like, you know, we work with them, but we hate each other. Like, fuck off.
He said the quiet part out loud, didn't he?
Yeah. Choose a lane.
A little too online is Nick Khan, I guess.
Yeah.
Nick Khan getting a great, great, you know, screen, not screenshot, but featuring at the end of WrestleMania 40, by the way.
Yeah.
It would be amazing if something could happen between AEW and WWE to pull off some kind of super show. But as history has shown, these things typically don't go well. It's they're tough to book. You know, like I bring up the Ring of Honor New Japan super show at MSG that we went to.
Yes.
There were a couple, you know, standout matches that I, you know, Jay White and Okada, Ospreay and Cobb, like, and then you also, from those highs, you also had Kenny King eliminating Muda and Liger from a fucking battle royal, and the Enzo and Cass thing, and the fucking Matt Taven winning the title. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of
it was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
It was the blurst of times. Yeah. And we're still suffering from Matt Taven to this day because of it. But
hey, so long as that dude keeps laying on his forehead, it's okay.
Yeah, but he hasn't since, man. It was one time.
True. That's true.
I appreciate you trying to give the guy some props, but he has done nothing nothing since landing on his forehead for our enjoyment warrant anything. We'll
talk a little bit about that when we preview Dynasty, by the way.
But yeah, I mean, a super show would be cool. Cause there's a lot of, you know, matches that could be very interesting and fun. But I am not holding my breath for that. Honestly, you know, I think on paper it could be cool, but I don't know. My gut is telling me that I don't think it's a good call.
I don't really know what is the dream match. Like, you used to be able to sit there and say in the WCW, WWF years of like, oh man, Sting versus Undertaker, or Steve Austin versus Goldberg, or, you know, all these different pairings where you go, oh my God, if they could make things work out, this could be incredible. The closest I can think of is Seth and an Ospreay.
That was the one that came to my mind too. That's the only thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, because they talk enough shit about each other.
Right.
Otherwise, I got nothing. Like,
a lot of the top card at AEW have been in WWE. So not helping things.
Yeah, that certainly does not
enhance. Well, and vice versa, because Cody, you know, obviously was in AEW. So,
I mean, maybe like Rey and Dragon Lee against the Lucha Bros or something like that. But even that's kind of it'd be cool.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm not like chewing on, you know.
Penta versus Gunther.
That would be awesome.
I'm fucking here for that.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of juice to it.
No.
Where I think it would be worth the, squeeze.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you have all that going on, and it just makes things feel like there's a lot of focus outside of the company, even though this pay-per-view coming up tonight has a killer fucking card.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and dig into that. We can talk about some of the stuff we saw on Dynamite and such this past week and the week prior, sort of tying into those matches. We have three bouts announced for 0 Hour.
Oh.
And then a remaining 9 for the main show.
Strap in for another 5-hour show, guys.
9 feels reserved for an AEW pay-per-view. I'm not going to lie.
Well, they're going to give Ospreay and Danielson some time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, if I had my druthers, they'd be finding a way to sneak in Claudio versus Takeshita, but that's just me. So on 0 Hour, we are blissfully unifying the trio's titles as the Acclaimed of Anthony Bowens and Max Caster, along with Father Butt, will be defending their trio's titles against the Bullet Club Gold of Jay White and the Guns, who have the Ring of Honor trio's titles. And we are about to be one title shorter. Thank God.
That's a step in the right direction. Is there any shine left at all on the Acclaimed? Because I feel like Max Caster has kind of ruined any kind of good feeling.
I mean, the crowd still goes nuts when the music hits. So there's that. But Jesus fucking Christ, Jay White and the Guns need to win this.
For sure.
Like, I will, you know, I'll just be honest. I will sigh audibly if they don't win the match. That's pretty much what I got.
Yeah.
You'll just hear me go in your living room. That's what's going to happen.
That's fair. And we'll do a simultaneous depressed sigh. There was Twitter was popping off as Jay White, you know, not being used to, you know, his booking in AEW compared to what he would have gotten WWE. And I'm like, first of all, he wouldn't be anywhere near a title at this point in WWE.
Yeah, not at all.
Secondly, you know, it's a crowded scene in AEW, but I think, you know, Jay White has had a couple title opportunities. And this has been a long going storyline that they're blowing off today. So, you know, hopefully with the unification of the titles, they can go focus on something a little less comedy.
I recognize it's likely a group of different people, but it's funny that the discourse is, oh, Jay White isn't getting a good enough of a push when he was going against MJF for the belt, and everyone's going, oh, Jay White's, you know, too much of a chump to be a world title challenger.
I mean, it's Twitter. It's just,
which is it, guys?
It's everything. It's everything. I mean,
it's no different than, you know, Azumi showing up on Collision last week and having a great fucking match with Toni Storm. People going, who is this Japanese bitch? I don't know who she is. Meanwhile, oh my God, Tama Tonga is in.
These motherfuckers never had it to do a G.O.D. match from 2014 ever before. And now they're creaming over a 42-year-old young talent. Thanks, Eric Bischoff, you dumb fuck.
I don't know who any of these Stardom girls are. However, I will scan this QR code and go down 15 different websites to find another spooky message.
What are we doing? I don't know. Anyway. And again, we're very online and I understand that.
Yes, we are perhaps too online.
100%, not perhaps. 100%.
This is why I don't even log into Twitter anymore. I'm over it.
I can't quit it. I need to.
Also at 0 Hour, we got Trent Beretta versus Matt Sydal as the Trent heel turn continues. He fucking murked Chris Daniels with a chair shot on Wednesday.
Yeah, he did.
Like, I don't know when the memo started going out that they needed to do chair shots to the head again in both companies, but it's happening a lot, and it's kind of fucked up.
I mean, agreed. At least it's not like a full-on rearing back and swinging for the fences. It's more of a I'm gonna throw a chair at your head sort of situation.
Yeah, true.
I guess is less impactful. I'm not sure the physics behind that. I'm not a scientist, but you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't love it either.
And we've also got Orange Cassidy and Katsuyori Shibata against the Shane Taylor Promotions duo of Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty.
I like
Lee getting more TV time. I've been a fan of his for some time, and you know, that's pretty dope. Also, Shane Taylor Promotions getting a pretty strong push overall.
Yeah, I noticed that while I was watching Dynamite. I was like, oh wow, they're really, you know, giving these guys a shot. And I thought it was a solid match between OC and Shane Taylor.
Yeah,
he's an odd shaped fellow, that Shane Taylor.
Yes. That man also may need some of the same advice I was giving Sammy Callahan. I like him.
He got that dunk.
But it's very clear why Keith Lee was the one who went solo out of that duo. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah, Moriarty, big fan of him getting more plates. And, you know, I'll never not pop for Shibata's music. So,
oh, absolutely. And Shibata seems to be having the most fun of his career. I think it was 2 weeks ago on Dynamite, hey, where he did the Google Translate promo he's been doing. Yeah. Him just that last beat turning to Renee and playing it. It says, I like your necklace. Fucking. Yeah. Laid me. So good. And then we got the main show. We've got Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe in the weirdest trio ever against the House of Black of Malachi Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. This match should be fine. It feels like a collision main event.
It does. Maybe they're, you know, they'll say have some crazy spot planned for it or something. I don't know. Hopefully not involving Julia Hart. That'd be great. But
well, Julia's, you know, got more to do. She does later have a
title
match
later. She'll be losing that title.
I think this is more to build Brody King and Adam Copeland for the TNT title.
TNT title, yes.
Yes. Because they were, you know, doing a lot to get Brody over on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it feels like that would be a natural guy for Copeland to drop the belt to. Cause you know,
I think ship kick your heel.
Yeah. And I think Brody is the one of the three members of House of Black who isn't staring at the door right now. So
that's true.
I don't know if you heard, I don't think we talked about it on the show, but, apparently the infantry House of Black match from a few weeks ago, Infantry is supposed to get a lot more offense, and House of Black went, that doesn't work for me, brother. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So that's going on now. It could be worse. It could be liking shady tweets like Danhausen.
That guy has ruined a lot of goodwill.
Boy. Yeah.
Like, you're still getting paid though, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not in that situation, so I can't, but there are better ways to handle your frustration than liking shitty tweets and posting shitty tweets and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. It makes you look like a messy bitch who lives for drama. So,
yeah, very nice. Very drama filled.
House of Black is going to go over in that match just because there's more to do with Copeland and Brody King.
Yeah. So Brody pins Cope.
Yeah. That's what I think, at least.
Yeah.
We'll see. Malachi might say that doesn't work for me, brother, and he ends up being the one to do it. in an FTW rules match for the FTW title, Hook goes against Chris Jericho in a match that I think only Chris Jericho wants to have happen.
So here's my hot take on this is I am both impressed and furious for Chris Jericho trying to trademark the Jericho Vortex. Yeah. Like my business side of my brain, I'm like, fuck, that's genius. And the other side of my brain is like, fuck you. No, you asshole. Don't do that.
So it shows a sense of self-awareness.
It does. However,
yeah. There's a Shane Taylor level butt at the end of this, which is that you can't acknowledge that you're a problem and persist.
Yes. Yeah.
The thing about Chris Jericho that made him so great in WWE is he would go, all right, I did my thing. I'm going to leave for a little while.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it breathe. Chris Jericho has been Chris Jericho for 5 years on AEW television.
Yeah. And he'll through most of it.
Yeah.
Actually. You know, JAS and whatever the other ones were before that. There was the
Inner Circle.
Yeah. Good God.
Yeah. I think if there is any sense in this world, have Hook beat him clean as a sheet.
Quickly.
And Jericho just goes away for like 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Years.
Like he proved his point. He proved his value. He did a lot of very good things. He had that miracle run. I think it was 2 years ago where he turned back time in the ring and he looked great, but I'm good. It's over.
When's his contract up? Do we have any idea?
He signed an extension right after the Punk thing. So
God damn it. I think
2027 is what we're looking at.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. So I'd be good with him disappearing for a little while.
Yeah. Take a vacation, you know, go visit some of your wife's friends in jail.
For the international championship, Roddy Strong defending against Kyle O'Reilly. I think in ring, this match should be very, very good.
Sure. I just don't care that much storyline wise.
And that is the point I wanted to make. The Undisputed Kingdom
sucks.
DOA. It's done. So I think if anything, what you need to do is have Kyle win clean.
Mm-hmm.
And then just have the Undisputed Kingdom break up. Its whole purpose was to continue the Adam Cole MJF feud.
Right.
Cole got pulled from the road because it was fucking up his ability to rehab.
Right.
MJF is who knows where.
Yeah.
Working on his injuries. I mean, there was a report like 2 weeks ago from PW Insider saying he's still hurt. He's still working on things. So
but was in talks with. Having communication with AEW.
Right, right. It's not like he just went off the grid.
Right.
Wardlow got chumped.
Yep. I forgot he was even there.
The Kingdom means nothing. Roddy Strong, as entertaining as it's been, needs to stop being Ned Flanders and start being a shit kicker again.
Oakley doakley.
So no different than Jericho. Have these guys go away for a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I recognize the Kingdom probably need to be on Ring of Honor television because they're tag champions.
That's okay. Nobody watches that.
Yeah. Yeah. They can be in the Ring of Honor zone. It's fine.
Yeah.
But Wardlow, figure out, like, I don't know, change his look or something. I don't know. He needs something new. Roddy, he can come back. I mean, I'm not saying hold him out this long, but like having him in like the Continental Classic, you know, just producing awesome matches again would be a really clever thing to do.
Yeah.
And Kyle, as a champion, is a fresh face with a belt, and he can go on that run like OC did of just going against different people. And I think it'd work out just fine.
Yeah. I mean, he's super talented. I'm wondering about, you know, his ability to promo, you know, as a champion for an extended period of time.
That's fair.
Cause he never really handled them to that much to my recollection.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, in ring wise, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, super fucking talented. So yeah, the match should be great, but yeah, it's, you know, you're taking KO in that.
Yeah. I'm taking KO. On
KOR.
Yeah. Core.
Core.
Then we have the house rules match for the TBS championship. Julia Hart defending against Willow Nightingale.
So why is this a house rules match and not the six man tag?
I don't fucking know. Okay. I honestly could not tell you. Actually, hang on. Let me double check. Yeah, no, it's not a house rules match. It's just a,
I guess is that only when they're defending a championship? Maybe.
Maybe. Anyway, this is a sideshow to Mercedes Moné's debut at Double or Nothing.
Which again, DOA.
Oh boy, that girl is regressing on promos.
I don't understand. Like, she has been an actress in some notable things, or at least a notable thing. It's the only, has she been in anything aside from the Star Wars?
She's been in some like B movies and stuff. But I ask you, Chris, what was her big line in The Mandalorian?
I know she had a line or two.
Why do you think she had one or two? Look, I get she's a star. I'm not gonna fuck with that. I'm
she
just
has
saying,
aura. She has charisma, and I'm she, just saying, from what I remember, can wrestle. But
yeah, her talking is not good.
Yeah,
it is actively regressing who she is.
It's community college theater.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
what
like,
it is.
The pre-tape felt like, I don't know if you ever watched these, but a few years ago, all these NXT promo class videos got leaked to the internet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like them in a little black box setup.
Uh-huh.
That's what her promo on Dynamite this week felt like.
Yeah. We did 87 takes. That was the best one.
Yeah. So I think Willow wins because Willow Mercedes is the destination. I think there's a non-zero possibility that, and people are going to love this on an AEW show, Mercedes causes a no contest and they do a triple threat, a double or nothing.
Yeah,
I don't love it. I'm not really a big fan.
I don't really need Julia Hart a part of this.
Yeah. Well, you know, the lights went out and someone who apparently wasn't Sabu beat up Mercedes.
How can you trademark a trope? With like,
because well, if right you can, now, Tony Khan is definitely rivaling,
yeah,
in terms of use of that trope, because that's used for like four different people right now.
Yeah, he does love that.
But yeah, Willow winning makes sense to me. Plus, she's been really fucking great.
Yeah,
so I think it's a nice reward.
So this is thinking back to Dynamite.
Yeah.
There were a couple good matches on this past week's Dynamite, you know, the main event especially. It's just, overall, I was kind of bored watching the show. And I know this was like the go-home show before a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, we're doing this. Okay. It's not really grabbing me. And I don't know if it's, you know, with whatever's going on in my head that's preventing me from enjoying it. I don't know if you're feeling the same sort of way, but I don't know if it's, you know, some kind of back of my mind residual effect of them being a-holes and airing that footage. I don't know, but I was not entertained throughout the majority of Dynamite. It really wasn't grabbing me.
I don't disagree. Basically there was a whole bunch of center to that show.
Yeah.
That was just there. I think part of it is there's a lot of stuff that just ain't working right now.
Yeah.
You had Deonna Purrazzo and Mariah May. Yeah. The crowd clearly behind Mariah May. So of course Deonna goes over, and Deonna, again, much like Mercedes, is just like, you are regressing.
Yeah.
On television right now. And, you know, I thought Deonna would have some upside in the company, but she's been miscast from the jump, and her lack of star feel.
Yeah.
Contrasted to Toni Storm and Mariah May and all of that other stuff. It makes her feel less than.
Yeah. Cause much more interesting is the relationship between Mariah May and Toni Storm than anything Deonna's had a hand with. And Deonna's already lost a title match or two.
Right.
So it's just, what's the fucking point with her at the moment?
Yeah. I don't really know where they're going with that. And it doesn't help that they are continuing in this weird, the TBS title and the Women's World title are very different divisions that apparently don't know the other exist.
Right. Right.
Like, it made sense when it was Jade
doing her thing, yeah.
Champion, because it was like, okay, we need people in there who can just kind of follow the template. And yeah. We can't really like have her augment that, which they're still doing in WWE.
Ain't broke.
So I understood it then that it's continuing now is very weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say you're not wrong. Also, the crowd was fucking lame on Wednesday.
Yeah,
I recognize that at a point you can't blame the crowd because it's supposed to be the wrestlers that make the crowd excited.
Right.
But I forget where they were, but it's not like it was an A town to begin with.
Right.
And really the only things that seemed to work were the WWE people, which is always a tough look for AEW. Yeah,
for sure. Anyway,
Okada defending the Continental Championship against Pac.
Hook it into my veins.
This should be incredible. Yeah. Pac, I will say the Pac match on Dynamite was another one of the highlights that stood out.
Yeah.
This is so hard for me to pick because I have the business mind and I have the fan mind.
Sure. Yeah. Business mind, Okada has to win.
Yeah. Because he just got the belt.
Yeah.
But Pac, man, Pac is is so good. And it's like he's the anti-Jericho Pac hasn't been around regularly enough for me to ever get sick of him.
It's true. It's true. Unfortunately, he has to take many sabbaticals, whether for travel or injury or visa or whatever.
And every time he comes back, I'm like, oh my God, this guy is so good.
Yeah, because he's just super talented. He's got a super unique look. And he associates, with the Lucha Bros. So that itself adds a little more. Although my dude Penta, the blue suit ain't working, bro. That is a fucking hideous set of gear you got there.
It's better than the Joker suit. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, touche, touche.
All I'm going to say. Look, he's got a billion and one better looks than that.
Yeah.
That blue suit, but still. Better than Joker. I assume Okada wins, but sure, Pac winning that belt would be super fucking cool.
Hell yeah, it would.
We've got the ladder match for the AEW World Tag Team titles as the when Young Bucks. When did they make
this ladder match? Was it just this week or was it the announced prior to that?
It was
just last week.
It was, okay. Or maybe it was the week Saturday prior, before Dynamite.
Okay.
On Collision.
Gotcha.
But yeah, FTR and the Young Bucks ladder match. For the belts. Ladder match, nice way of spicing up the match because we've seen them have three standard matches against each other and they've been good. But there was nothing that really was compelling me to sit down and watch this a fourth time. I don't know how FTR is going to do in a ladder match because in my mind, it is not really a compliment to their style.
Didn't they do one with the Briscoes? Or is that just a ladder involved match?
I think there was a ladder involved match. They did two. They did a regular match, two out of three falls, and they did a dog collar.
Okay, that's right.
That was the trilogy. I think maybe they did a ladder match or two in NXT with like DIY and AOP,
probably
something like that.
Similar acronym.
I'm not like, you know who's going to be awesome in a ladder match? FTR, the guys who do suplexes and punches.
The guy who almost had his artery ripped open by a ring the hook. Let's put him in there with more sharp metal objects.
Yeah. I think because of that, though, this is going to be the, I guess, the Roman Cody hullabaloo match of the night. Because I think we are getting a return and a debut in this same match segment, whatever you want to call it.
So Jack Perry comes to help the Elite.
Yes.
And who returns?
Post-match? Jack is the return.
Okay, the return. Okay.
So the debut, I think post-match.
Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah, I think Shelly and Sabin show up, to do the whole, stand on the
Stand
on the ramp, stare down whoever the new champions are, hint of where we're going next. Sure. Oh my God, what are they doing in AEW moment? Because they're going to fit in perfectly with that mix. I mean, the Bucks in particular have shouted them out so much on television over the 5 years of AEW that it just makes sense that they
didn't make an appearance in AEW at one point.
They did. It was like a random 6-man tag. It was like them and Jay Lethal against some folks. But they have not been an AEW signed talent.
Right.
I think they are the right fit there. And I think they're going to do really great things there. I totally admit I'm a big Alex Shelley mark.
Yes. But widely established on this show,
but I think they will be a very good fit and a nice shot in the arm to the tag division. Which barely needs another shot again because fucking Mark Quinn's hurt again. So,
oh, is he?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So they're down one team again. So might as well throw those guys in there. I think the match will be entertaining. I don't know that this is going to be a 5-star classic that we look back on.
I'd hate to be wrong. Hate to be wrong about that.
Yeah.
Or love to be wrong about that. Sorry.
I think the Bucks win the belt, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Bucks and Machine Guns makes a lot of sense, although I feel like, for contrast, FTR and the Motor City Machine Guns would be a lot of fun. And not to say it couldn't still happen.
Yeah, that could be a match for title contendership or something like that.
Yeah.
Or they could do a triple threat or some shit. We'll see what they decide to do. And also around that time, if we look after this pay-per-view, where things could go for Double or Nothing, Phoenix comes back on May 5th.
Let's go.
So just saying, get those boys back in the tag title mix.
Yes, please.
Be real good. For the AEW Women's World Championship, Timeless Toni Storm defending against Thunder Rosa. Has the crowd turned harder on anyone than they have on Thunder Rosa?
You know, I think she's kind of leaned, encouraged it, maybe not knowingly, but just by being herself, she's going to cause this to happen.
Yeah. Like Thunder Rosa. I mean, check the tape, big fans over here. You know, it was like, okay, whatever you can do, sign her away from Billy Corgan, sign her away from Billy Corgan. And she had a run. Then she won the belt. She hurt her back. She disappeared. And since she's come back, it's definitely been a less than.
Yeah.
And no different than Deonna going over on Wednesday. The crowd does not want to see Thunder Rosa in a women's title match. They want to see Tony and Mariah in a women's title match.
Yeah. Which I imagine would be Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't draw it out. That is the fireworks
factory we're clearly going to.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, they could drag it out to All In.
That's what I was just going to say.
British. Yeah. I think it's a given Tony retains here.
Yeah. I don't really see any reason for Thunder Rosa to win this title.
I worry, though, that this is going to be the deadest part of the show.
Deader than Julia and Willow?
Yep.
Just because Willow's been hotter?
Willow's on a hot streak, and the crowd really likes Julia Hart. I know you hate her, but the crowd really likes Julia Hart. Like, she's starting to get a sing-along entrance, which tells you how over she's getting.
God damn it.
Yeah. Plus, that theme is really good, I'm just going to say.
It's fine.
but yeah, Tony, I think, wins and retains, and we get more with her and Mariah in the not too distant future. Will Ospreay, Brian Danielson, the reason for the season, Chris. This is if there was nothing else on this pay per view, it would justify buying the pay per view.
Worth my $50, yeah, for sure.
I am just so excited for this. Also, Ospreay and Danielson are fucking crazy because Ospreay worked Claudio on Wednesday. Their match was great. Maybe not as great as some of the other matches because, you know, Ospreay's like, I got a pay-per-view on Sunday, bro.
Yeah.
I can't do that. And then Danielson worked a fucking bunkhouse match last night.
Yeah, he did. He's just bonkers.
Understood the assignment. Cut-off t-shirt, jeans, in the boots.
Dude, it's Brian Danielson.
If
there's anybody who understands assignments in pro wrestling, it's
Mary. I don't know if you saw Kyle Fletcher on Twitter on Thursday. It's like, explain to me what a bunkhouse match is?
And then last night he posted a photo of himself bleeding, said, why did nobody tell me what a bunkhouse brawl was? I was like, okay, you have some good tweets that are making up for some poor fashion and hair choices. So I'll allow that. Ospreay and Danielson, just sign me up. I mean, I'm very much here for this sort of flippy-do extravaganza. I just got to say, you know, for all of the things that we have, you know, justifiably been said not been going well for AEW, Ospreay is by far the best decision that they've made. Whatever they're paying him is worth it, and then probably then some, because it's super over with the crowd.
Yeah.
Not just because of the song, but because of, you know, the way he's carried himself, the matches he's put on, his promos have punched above his what we knew is his pay grade. Just firing on all cylinders. Maybe, you know, his association with the Don Callis family is kind of, I guess, part of the story, is distancing himself from them. As soon as he gets away from them, I think it's just full steam ahead for the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I have little doubt that he will be in the world title match at All
Wembley.
Wembley.
Sure.
I think he wins here tonight, clean as a sheet.
Definitely.
Because Danielson's on his I'm doing dream matches and putting over everybody run.
Yeah.
So this is going to be special. That's really the only way to put it. I cannot wait for this. My lone hesitation in all of this, and I recognize it was marred by injury, was that Okada Danielson Forbidden Door match did not go the way I think anyone wanted.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I worry that the level of excitement and hype for this match is going to weigh it down a bit.
Well,
but if there's two guys who can live up to the hype.
Sure.
I mean, Ospreay and Omega very similarly had a lot of hype going into it, and it delivered, and it delivered twice, and it delivered in two matches that probably weren't the matches we were expecting from them.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what happens. And I really, really hope, you know, it is everything we want it to be, because I think this is also a statement match for AEW. They're talking about restoring the feeling and where the best wrestle and all this. This is going to be the match to hang your hat on.
Yeah.
If it works out.
This is the highlight reel.
Yeah. This is the one that, like,
not the Jericho talk show.
But. Yeah. Yeah. This is the one. And here's an old reference. If you give away a sampler DVD of AEW, this would be the match to put on it.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens tonight. But then we got the main event, AEW World Championship, Swerve Strickland going for the belt held by Joey Samoa.
Do you think they put a cooler match in between these two, or do you think they just full throttle
towards? Tony Thunder Rosa is going to be going between those two.
Oh, God.
1,000%. And yes, I think Swerve and Joe is your main event.
Sure. No, it has to be. It's the title. And I think this is it. I think it happens tonight. Swerve finally wins the big one and gets strapped up and just, you know, put the rocket to him, man. Let's go. I'm ready.
It's time. I mean, Joe has played his part as
perfect
kingpin of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Perfectly. But I think even he will sit there and go, I'm doing this to get him ready.
Sure.
And Swerve's ready. Like we were texting earlier this week, the spot at the end of the show where he did stomp onto 20 guys. I don't know how that's supposed to work physically,
but the
visual was insane.
Looked cool as shit, man. Superhero landing and just the stare down. Yeah, no, yeah. Dude's fucking, he's over as hell as a baby face, which is crazy considering where he was even a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And you can feel the crowd willing this to be like, they want it. Swerve, you can see, you know, Swerve, he like gave a little wink at one point when he was talking. And I was like, okay, he knows this fucking happening. Like, you know, I'm talking fast because I'm so excited for it.
And the thing is, he is going to be such a great face for the company.
Oh, absolutely.
Cause it's different.
Yeah.
I've gone on record so many times that what I think AEW needs to recognize is what makes them different and what makes them stand out and what makes them opposed to what pro wrestling has been. The best thing that AEW does is when they feature talent that weren't the top guy in WWE, when they ignore the legacy and legend focus that WWE, TNA, all the others have had, when they lean into youth culture, the new, the now, the next, that's when AEW is at its best. Swerve is that guy.
To a T.
Yeah. He's got ties to the music industry. Mm-hmm. He's, I mean,
a person of color.
Yeah. Let's put it out there. You're going to have, when you look at the two companies, the literal white meat baby face on WWE on the other side.
This guy's
got edge. This guy's got an appeal to people who maybe aren't typically watching wrestling. Like, he will go further.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a commercial they're showing on TNT for Dynamite, which is just him talking about, you know, his training and his focus. And he looks like, you know, it almost feels like a Nike ad.
Yeah.
Like he's got that swagger, and he's got that it. Undeniable. Yeah. The it factor.
Yeah.
And you put this guy also, you sit him in the chair at a morning show or whatever. He's got the gift of gab. He can talk so eloquently about what he does in the ring and why he does it, and the importance of pro wrestling to him and all of that. And he will be a great representative for the company in that regard. And it also is that thing that they need to do, which is ignore the outside world ignore what the other company does or says about you and focus on the strengths you have. And right now, Swerve is one of the strongest things they have.
He's OP at this point.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's strap the guy up.
Yeah. So,
look, by the way, are you petitioning for a job in AEW public relations right now? Because that was that was fucking choice, my guy.
Not intentionally, but as a guy who's liked this company from the jump, that's what makes me excited about AEW. That there was a point, especially in those early shows, where you would watch it and go, "I don't know who some of these guys are."
Yeah.
I didn't know who Private Party was, and the Bucks made him look like stars. Granted, you know, we've seen what's happened in the years subsequent, but you know, that you had the Lucha Bros and you go, holy shit. Like, yes, I saw these guys in Lucha Underground, but
yeah,
I want to see more of that because I don't know that as well. And I think that's what they got to do. They got to embrace the next and Swerve that guy. And look, the show's called Dynasty. I think it says it in the title. It is time for him to live up to his dynasty, win that belt. And I think the match is going to be fucking great too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, these guys are both well-traveled. They know what they're doing. They know the story that they're telling. And I think it's going to, I don't necessarily think it's going to be a bloodbath, but I think it's going to be very physical. And I think it's going to just end with a fantastic moment.
Now, about that end,
mm-hmm.
I've seen some people, and it might be WWE brain.
Oh, geez.
But I've seen some people going, we haven't heard from Hangman in a while. And what did Hangman promise?
Oh, that he wasn't finished with, that you and I are destined to do this forever sort of thing.
And also, you will never hold the AEW world title for as long as I'm breathing.
Oh, fuck. No,
I don't want that to be where this goes. If I had my druthers, Swerve wins, gets jumped at the end of the show. We got to see what happens on Dynamite on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But I've definitely seen some people going, yeah, Hangman's going to cost him the belt.
Oh, I don't. I don't love that. But yeah.
I like Hangman a lot. And Crazy Heel Hangman is really fucking fun.
Sure.
But it's time. It's time to do the thing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Oh, boy. Oh, man. You're just giving me so much anxiety for the next 12 hours.
Well, see, there you go. And that's the opposite side of the AEW PR job I did.
You son of a bitch. No pizza for you tonight. You're banned from pizza rolls.
You know what? It's going to be hard to get them anyway. You're going to be standing between me and the pizza rolls.
Hey,
anyway.
Fuck you, buddy.
I mean, look, it's your house. I get it. I get it. Whose house? Chris's house.
The Roughhouse Podcast is a weekly podcast fueled by coffee, pizza rolls, and the stench of dirty litter boxes. Follow Christoph and Marty on Twitter at RoughhouseSGW, at Facebook.com/TheRoughhousePodcast, and at Patreon.com/TheRoughhousePodcast for early access to episodes, exclusive podcasts, Roughhouse redos, and Roughhouse Divided movie trivia games. New episodes drop every single Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Subscribe, motherfuckers!
This is the Roughhouse podcast with Justin and Christoph.
That's it.
Fuck Christoph. He's terrible with his information. Okay. Hey, this is The Rock. Shut your mouth, jabronis, and listen up, because this is the Roughhouse podcast with
Marty
and my least favorite man on the planet, Christoph.